James chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil, bad. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl, for your misery shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborer, who hath reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on this earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. I want to preach to you a message this morning called Here Today, Gone Tomorrow. From that text, look at verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Here today, gone tomorrow. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the singing. Thank you for the music that's been played. God, it's just been heavenly this morning. I pray, though, that now as we come to opening up the Word of God and preaching from the Word of God, that you continue to bless. Father, you know the needs in the hearts of the people that are in this room. I don't, you do. But God, all I do is try to preach what you've told me to preach and then let you do your work. I pray the folks that hear my voice this morning, here in this room, over the internet, will let you do in their heart what you want to do. God, please help them this morning. And Father, for this to be accomplished, I'm going to need your power. I need you, Holy Spirit. Please help me this morning. I feel so inadequate for the task ahead. But with you, I know I can do it. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. You know, when you're young, it's as if there were no sunset, no darkening shadows, no end to life. Oh, those days of youth. Amen. You know, do crazy things like rock rappelling or, you know, doing things that any sane person would, you know, and you know who the sane people are, don't you? Those of us over 40, 45. 35. You know, oh, you just look at your kids. God help you parents that just, you're afraid they're going to bump their head, get a little boo-boo and everything. Man, let them run into walls. It's good for them. It gets calluses there. Boys are going to be boys, and girls will be girls. But look at their youth. Look at them. There's no fear. I see parents all the time after service, they're watching with wild eyes, large and big, as their kids are up here on the podium with these steps going down, and they're just frightened to death. Those kids are just running all around, swinging on that blue thing over there like it's jungle gym, you know, with a sharp edge, could split them open in a second. They don't care. But as you get older, life has a different perspective. It looks like night's coming. Shadows grow long. Plans are made for the end of life. Look at this verse again, or what we take in our text from. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Do you know this verse shows us how God looks at our mortal life from an eternal standpoint? This is how God sees our mortal life. And you know what the mortal life, that's the life we're living on this terra firma right here. That's the life we live. And I don't care what age bracket you're in, and looking around the audience, we have some that go right on up there, and this one that's speaking to you in that category. God still looks at my life and it says it's just like a vapor, just as much as He looks at those new six kids that were born to Mrs. Hyler's kids. It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever sat on a cold morning? Now, personally, I sit on a cold morning, hot morning, every morning. I sit with my cup of coffee. And you sit there, and you ever seen that coffee, like on a cold morning, where that steam rises from it, and then all of a sudden it's just gone. And for those of you that don't drink coffee, your cup of tea, hot cup of tea, and you sit there and you look at it, and you watch it. It's pretty prevalent at the beginning, but then all of a sudden it just simply goes away. Did you know that's how God views our life here in our mortal bodies? It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Do you know from what we read in these scriptures right here, and you saw the text as I read it, it's combined even though there's a chapter 5 in there. It's all still there. It's put there for a reason. Do you see in our text what God is saying here? It doesn't matter what you start out with or what you end up with, what great things you've done in your life. All that matters is what you can take out of this life with you. So with that in mind, we better start making plans for eternal life. These things that I'm going to preach about today are things that you need to be concerned about in your life. So let's look at things that can be taken out of this, from this mortal life, and taken to heaven or the next life. Number one, first thing that you're going to take with you, or you can take with you, is your soul. Do you know what your soul is? Your soul is the real you. It's what you shaved, if you're a man this morning. It's what you shaved, if you're a lady. It's what you looked at when you put that makeup on. Oh, it's not the exterior, but it's the real you. It's what is inside of you. Did you know that soul that you have in your life, in your mortal body right there, will continue to live forever? Yes, it does not die. There is no such biblical doctrine as soul sleep. Your soul will continue to live once you die in this physical death. That soul will continue to live. And it will either live in eternal life, or it will live in eternal death. Matthew, turn over to Matthew, would you? Matthew chapter 25. Let me show you this verse. Let's take time to look at this one verse this morning. The rest I'll pretty much quote to you. You're welcome to turn there, but jot down the verses if you don't want to turn while I'm turning there. I've got them marked in my Bible so I can get there quickly, but jot them down. Look at them. Take them home. Be like the Thessalonians that search the Scriptures. Look at Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. Last verse in the chapter 25. And these shall go away unto, what's the next word? Everlasting punishment. But the righteous into life, what's the next word? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, our soul will either live in judgment, in hell, or it will live in life, eternal life. That soul that you have will live forever. In Mark chapter 3:29, Jesus called it eternal damnation. In Revelation 20:10, He said they shall be tormented day and night forever. John chapter 10 verse 28 says, and Jesus said, and I give unto them eternal life. See, if you look in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, when He created man, the Bible says that God created man and He formed him, and it says He breathed into him and made him a living soul. See, that soul lives forever. That's why when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God had to put angels there with a flaming sword to guard against that tree of life, because that soul of Adam and Eve could live forever, continual in the state of sin if they could get to that tree. See, we have a soul that will live forever. We have a choice, ladies and gentlemen, in our lives, which eternity our souls will go and live in, either damnation or eternal life. But the choice we have must be made here and now before a physical death. Listen to this verse, Hebrews 9:27. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. See, God has made a way for you and I to be able to take our soul and live eternally in a place of bliss, a place of heaven, which preacher aptly preached about for weeks there. Great messages. Loved them. Exciting. Wanted to be there. My friend, you must make preparation to get to that place, and you must make preparation before you physically lose this body on this terra, on this mortal coil that we live on. See, God Almighty in His love made a way for us to be able to have eternal life instead of eternal damnation. You say, why would God send anybody to eternal damnation? God doesn't send anybody to hell or eternal damnation. God doesn't do it. We do it by not obeying what God says to do to get eternal life. What did God say to do to get eternal life? He said that I will be born of a virgin so that I can be man, yet still God. And I will live on this earth in the human flesh that you and I live in. And I will walk among people. I will be tempted with sin, but I will not sin, so that I can go to a cross and die on that cross to pay the penalty for all man's sin. God Almighty left heaven and took the form of Jesus the Christ so that He could die to pay your penalty for my sin, and your penalty for your sin, and my penalty for my sin. See, because we've all sinned. Every one of us. There's some time in our life we've sinned. And many of us, we make it a practicing habit. But God loved us and made a way to pay for our sin so our soul we could take with us and live in heaven. It's a choice we must make. See, on the one hand, God says, the soul that sinneth, it must die. It must pay for that sin. But on the other hand, God says, but I love you, and I made a way to pay for your sin. And God says, okay, you choose. Will you pay for your sin? Or will you let me pay for your sin? The choice is ours. If you want to take something out of this world that is of real value instead of gold and silver and things that you build up HRAs or whatever they're called, IRAs and all that are losing value over and over and over, or if you wanted to live your life that way, but my friend, I want to make sure my soul lives for eternity in a place called heaven. Because you will take your soul out of this world. You'll shed that body, and that soul will continue to live. Where will it live? Time is short. We never know when our vapor will vanisheth away. If you're sitting here today and you have any doubt in your heart of receiving Jesus Christ as your payment for your sin, then my friend, today, do what every one of us, the other people in this room, have done. We made sure. And this is going to be at the invitation. You come down. You take my hand. We'll have a man, if you're a man, a woman, if you're a woman, take you and show you from the Bible how God loved us, let Jesus die on the cross for our sin, sinless, and paid sin for us who knew no sin. And they'll show you, and you can get that settled today so you can take that soul with you into heaven. There's another thing that we can take with us to heaven. Treasure. You know the old saying, you took nothing into this world and you'll take nothing out, may be true in the sense as earthly treasures, as silver and gold. But you know the Bible says we can build up rewards or treasures in heaven. Excuse me. I gave Brother Matt my last cough drop. Shouldn't have done that. I knew I didn't. Listen to what Matthew chapter 6, and you can turn there if you want, but I'll be in it already. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 20 says, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, some of us are so earthly minded that we're no spiritual good. And you know why that is? Because all our treasure that we have and we're building and trying to accumulate is here on this earth instead of getting treasures in heaven. What kind of treasures, Brother Evans? Listen to 1 Corinthians 9:25. What Paul says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate, in control, in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Talking about athletes and people that strive. The final four. Here we go. I don't even want to mention North Carolina and Kentucky today. Boy, oh boy, that'll be a great game. You know what they're striving for? A crown that's corruptible. But we an incorruptible, Paul says. There are crowns that we can get. These are rewards and treasures. Excuse me. These are rewards and treasures that God gives us for diligence and faithfulness in our temperance and the things we do in this life. Therefore, in Philippians 4:1 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. Listen to this. My joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Did you know you can have a treasure or a crown of those that you love and you've influenced in your life and they get to heaven? My friend, that will be a crown in that'll be a reward in your crown that you can have. Paul says, my dearly beloved, my joy, my crown, you are my crown in heaven. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? Thank you. I was waiting for someone to bring one. I just wanted to see who would get the crown and the jewel and reward. I'm about ready to choke is what I was. I thought I was going out. I thought my vapor was gone there. See, he says, look, your presence in the Lord Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, that's a crown, knowing that your loved ones, your family members, your children, those that love you, that's a crown that you'll have in heaven because they're there. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life. 1 Peter 5:4 says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Revelation 3:11 says, Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast. Let no man take thy crown. Then look in Revelation 4. Round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Look what they did with it. And the verse 10, chapter 4, and the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne, and worshiped him that lived forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne. Ladies and gentlemen, there are treasures that we can send up ahead of us. There are rewards that can be waiting there, and not to be used on ourselves, but to cast at the feet of our Savior, the one that gave His life so that we could have a soul that lives forever in heaven instead of lives forever in a place of destruction. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said, no one will even lose a reward if they give one of my servants water. Let me ask you this question this morning, my friend. Are you living your life for yourself and what you can get out of it? Are you putting up money so that your kids can take that money and then use it on themselves or whatever? Are we getting treasures that we get because we're living a life of temperance, a life of holiness, a life of serving God in our lives so that we can have some rewards in heaven? Where's your treasure? Where are you building your treasure up? And then lastly, you can take blessings with you. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, listen to this. And they that be wise. Now then, the description in the Bible for who's wise is Proverbs 11:30, and it says, they that winneth souls is wise. And they that shall be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Let me ask you something this morning. Is there anybody, when you go to heaven and eternal life with your everlasting soul, will meet you there and say, you're responsible for me being there? Is there anybody? You know what? We've got people working all over this church this morning. And they're out there working with kids in our Sunday schools, in our churches, our junior church, our children's church, our primary church, our teenagers that are investing their lives so that they can have blessings in heaven, so those children can get to heaven and those young people can get saved and their souls can live forever. My friend, that's what you want to do in your life. You want to put your life in something that matters, then have blessings in heaven. That's what you can take out of this world. Shame on us if we have never influenced one person, adult, or child, or anybody else to come to church or to even be saved. This isn't a place for us to come and get what we need. This is a place the church is all about winning people to Jesus Christ. That's why we're here, is so that when I preach and pastor preaches and you're taught Sunday school lessons, it's so you'll be a better Christian so you can influence someone else, so you can have blessings waiting in heaven of the people you influenced in your life. Must I go there empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet Him. Must I empty-handed go? Ladies and gentlemen, life is too short to waste. Why not make what is left in our life count for good? So little time, the harvest will be over, our reaping done. We reapers taken home, report our work to Jesus, Lord of the harvest, and hope He'll smile and that He'll say, well done. Time's getting late, and I'm not talking about 12:15. That vapor is disappearing. What do you have in heaven. Because you're not going to take anything out of here. Gold, silver, stock bonds, or property, or anything else. You either have rewards, blessings, and most importantly, you need to make sure your soul is in heaven. It's getting late. We better get our crop into the ground so we can have a harvest waiting. What do you have waiting for you this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, please.